WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Beck Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
Don't say it.
No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm your host, David Mills. I'm joined by John Easter, Jeff Robinson from the Flyer, and, of course, Coach Kirshner. We are down here at Church's Chicken on West 10th Street, and we can't thank them enough for the hospitality that they provide every week.
Absolutely.
All right. Anyways, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Doing good. Glad to be here.
Good.
Also doing great. Looking forward to another great week of high school football.
Yeah, it should be a great one this week.
Who do they got you covering this week?
I have Brownsburg and Fishers at Brownsburg.
Be a good game.
Yeah.
See if Brownsburg bounces back. They had a tough one last week.
They did. From what I was told, Avon jumped on them early and often.
Yep.
All right, well, go to Coach here real quick. Recap last Friday night's game. What went good, what went bad?
47 win over Center Grove.
Yeah, a lot of things went well. We score quick and get out 7-0, and I thought our defense came out and executed the game plan very well. The kids bought in to what we were asking them to do and some things we didn't do last year in the semi-state when they kind of beat us up pretty good. The kids kind of bought into the scheme, lined up correctly, and I thought we did a good job getting them off the field. And then, obviously, if we can get our ball to our offense, it was a short game. We were talking at halftime that we had the ball three times in the first half. We scored on two of them, which is really good, but you only got the ball three times. They had the ball four times and scored on their last one. And so we were talking at halftime that, at the pace of the game and with them running the ball and us kind of dinking and dunking, we weren't really looking. They were taking away shots down the field, big plays. And so they were making you drive it just by doing short yardage stuff. We thought we might only be, even that we started with the ball in the second half, if everything goes well, we might get it four times. Well, it turned out we got it five, and we scored on four and took a knee on the fifth. So we were very efficient. When you think about our number one offense, had the ball a grand total of seven times, scored six touchdowns, took advantage of it. I thought a big play for us was the opening drive of the second half. We're up 13-7. We kind of stall out at just inside their 50. We lined up in a punt formation and ran a fake punt for 15 yards and went in and scored and really established the momentum back. And then our defense was able to get a couple stops, and the offense took advantage of it, went in and scored again. And going in the fourth quarter, we were up 26-7. And, again, they weren't letting us strike with big plays, but they're not necessarily getting big plays themselves. And, when it was all said and done, we had about 400 yards of offense, and they had about 145, which is – the fewest we've given up to them in quite some time. They've been able to drive the ball. I think they ended up with 42 passing and 103 rushing. Their freshman, great back in Carson Steele, great back. We held him to like 21 carries for 70-some yards. We thought we did a good job containing him. The week before he rushed for 200 or something on Carmel. So overall good. I thought our kicking game was solid. We took some advantage of some things that they were giving us. Overall, it was a good team win for us.
Talk a little bit about the defensive keys that you really have to pay attention to in order to hold a team like Center Grove to just 7 points and that low of an offensive yardage total.
Yeah, the keys are one thing, and I'll get to that, but it's also their scheme. Their scheme is not something we've seen. Our first 3 weeks, we saw a spread against Tech, we saw the spread against Pike, and we saw the spread against Avon with some double tights and some power, but no wing T. So It's all about reading your keys and what I refer to as near back. Who's your near back? Who's the back that's nearest you? If he goes away, cross key to him. You know, if he comes at you, fill. You know, and so we got our corners and our safeties working that, what I call that invert. You know, the back your key in comes at you, you're attacking, the other guy's invert and things like that. And then I thought our outside backers played an unbelievably great job of when they pull those guys around, getting up underneath them and forcing that ball to bounce to the outside where we had people coming. You know, if they're a BC gap running team, and if you allow them, they will stay in there forever. And I thought our DNs did a nice job winning C gap and kind of forcing things out to people they weren't blocking. So overall, buying into what we were selling a little bit was a good thing. And, you know, I thought our kids executed very well.
I think from start to finish, this was kind of like an Elvis game. You were just taking care of business when you went down there. And, you know, from start to finish, and I think one place, you know, we talked about, there wasn't much laundry on the field for the Giants this game. Talk about that, because that was pretty remarkable to me.
Yeah, I don't know what we actually ended up with, 6 or 7 penalties. One of them was an unsportsmanlike, which was absolutely legit. There was no question, and the kid came over and, you know, we took him over and said, "What'd you do that for?" He goes, "Because he was kicking my butt, you know, and he was mad, you know, and they can't do that." And the 79 was whipping him, is what it was, and he responded in a poor way. We had a couple, lined up in the neutral zone. We just didn't have a lot, which was nice because we'd been fighting for a couple weeks to get our kids to play a little bit more disciplined. And, you know, I don't think there was a lot of penalties on either side. I think they had a couple holds. And they jumped in the neutral zone 2 or 3 times, but I think they only had 6 or 7.
One killed their touchdown.
Yeah, that was a hold on their one touchdown early. It was kind of nice. I like it when officials let us play. You call the obvious, you eat everything else, and you move on. And, you know, as long as it's not affecting the play of the game, you let it go. And so I was pleased with just the overall reaction. I thought our kids did a better job of focusing on just playing the game.
Were there any standout performances last week, any individual player that really stood out?
Well, yeah, you can start on the offensive side with Reese Taylor. I mean, when you have a quarterback who throws the ball 31 times, completes 28 for 214 yards and 4 touchdowns, that's a pretty good day. You had Johnny Adams, our running back, who scored 4 touchdowns, just kind of keeps churning out the yards, had a draw play, made a guy miss that was a beautiful run, had a receiving touchdown. I thought our O-line, we were without one of our starters who was out with an injury, and I thought DeJuan Jones came in and did well, big junior offensive tackle. And then on the defensive side, like I alluded to earlier, Keelan Laws and Malcolm Mitchell did a great job at outside backer. I thought Jonte Dobson, Elijah Ball did a nice job filling from the secondary. And then I think the probably the best player of the game on defense was Sir Zion Dance. He was all over the place. I think he ended up with 12 or 13 solos. I mean, they just didn't block him. I mean, he played a really special football game.
You mentioned Reese Taylor, who we all know is having really a fantastic season. He seems to have such a unique game. Who do you really compare him to in terms of what his game is?
Well, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks, you know, from James Banks to some of the guys back in my Warren days, and He's not everybody when they recruited him, as an athlete. They all said he was an athlete. And I all spring, all last winter, I kept telling the colleges are coming in. I said, you know, I know what you see. You see this guy who runs all over the field, makes people miss, and I know what you're seeing. But I'm telling you, the kid's a quarterback. And, you know, they're like, well, they all get hung up on this height thing. He's 5'10", 5'11", whoever you measure with. And I kept saying, you know, forget the height. Don't look at the height. You know, watch him throw. He's got a gun for an arm. He's accurate as can be. He's always been accurate. Even as a sophomore, he completed about 66% of his pass. In fact, I think he broke the school record for completion percentage. But this year, right now, through 4 games, he's completing 74% of his passes. He's accurate, and when he starts to scramble, he's got this innate ability to not only know where the rush is coming from so he can step up, step out, step back, but he keeps his eyes down the field. And you always listen to NFL quarterbacks and commentators talk about how they're stepping out of that rush, but their eyes are down the field, and they're finding that guy. And he has that ability to find that open guy on the move, on the run, under pressure, under duress, and he keeps his composure. You know, I know Warren's a great team, and they're going to come after him, and I'd come after him. You know, that's what I would do. I would go after him. I'd chase him all over the place, try to get him out of his comfort zone. But he handles things like that pretty well, and the best part, he's a really coachable kid. He understands what Coach Ferris is teaching, what he expects, and goes from there. So he's unique.
Let me go back 2 years ago. You were originally using Reese as a wide receiver to open his sophomore season. Did you have plans on him being your quarterback of the future at that time?
Yeah, down the road. You know, he came in as a sophomore. He went to camp with us. You know, he ran the second team at the camp. You know, we had Ajay Cooper had been with us, and we'd been kind of grooming him to be the quarterback, and we had a move in from Chicago. That was pretty good. We kind of groomed him to be the quarterback, and then when you know, but he'd always get a few reps in practice. But he was really a starting wideout. He caught a touchdown against Avon second week that year, a long one. He's just really good, and we knew we needed to get him on the field. And then when Ajay got hit by Swan, the stud D tackle from Center Grove, and went to Stanford, you know, and popped his shoulder out, and he was out the rest of that game. We tried to go with the two quarterback deal, and the young man from Chicago just kind of struggled with snaps and reads, and all of a sudden in practice, it was just obvious Reese was different. And so from that point on, Reese became the starting quarterback, which would have been game five of his sophomore year, and really just has never looked back.
Jeff, you must have anticipated my question, because you asked a perfect question to lead into mine. Over the last, you know, going back now about six seasons or so, you've had now granted, with Reese, you kind of found him through the play, even though he may have been long term the what you thought would be your quarterback. But go back, you had Kyle Kastner, who you had that was just solid throughout his entire career at Ben Davis, and you pretty much handed off to Reese Taylor. So that's very unusual,
right?
At least in Ben Davis.
It's been a 6-year run. Kyle started as a sophomore in 12, and never relinquished the job in 12, 13, and 14. He missed one game in 13, where Cody Turpin came in and led that phenomenal comeback against Pike down at Lucas Oil. And played unbelievable game, threw for almost 300 yards that day, and I don't know how many touchdowns. And then in 15, you know, Reese didn't play the first four, and then played the last six, and has not given up the position to this point. You know, and he hasn't missed any games for injuries. Knock on wood, he doesn't. You know, because I don't care what you say. There, you take basketball and you take football. If you don't have a point guard who can get ball to the guys like Harper did last year — Harper was a really good basketball player. He knew how to get it to the right people in the right place to make the right decision to score points and led Coach James to the state championship. It's the same thing in football. If we don't have a quarterback that can pull the trigger, we're always just kind of – we're just not as efficient. It's easier to defend you. You know, and you know, we'll get to Warren here a little bit, but they play two very distinct, different quarterbacks. They play Dean Tate, who's a scrambler like Reese and throws it really well, and a great competitor. And then you got George, who's, you know, the youngest son of Jeff George, who played for the Colts, and you got him, and he's a prototypical drop back, big arm kid who can make all the reads and all the throws. So, you know, that presents us into a series of problems for us down the road, but. Reese is special. He's unique. Will be missed when it's over. You know, the guys like him and Kyle, you know, we're fortunate for 6 years now. We've had a guy that can pull the trigger, but it's a unique thing.
With this big win over the Trojans last week, do you think the guys, they're keeping their heads on straight for the most part and, you know, preparing like any other game for the next couple, or do you think their head might get a little bit big because of this win compared to last year's loss, you know, in semi-state and everything? And, you know,
I don't know if they got a big head. I know we didn't practice well tonight. You know, I've never pulled punches on the radio. John knows that. If I don't like it, I don't like it. And I didn't like it. It wasn't good. You know, I'm sure there's a Warren guy listening, and he's hearing this, and he's going to go back and, hey, they had a rotten practice. Well, we did. You know, we're not what we should be, not what we need to be. We talked about the, you know, we talked to our team all week. Right? We started with it on Saturday. You know, okay, you've won four. You've beaten some good teams. Avon's a really good football team. Center Grove's a really good football team. Pike's a resurging good football team. you know, you're good. Okay, Ben Davis, you're good. What do you want to be? Do you want to be good or do you want to be great? There's a huge difference. There's a huge step between good and great. And it starts with maturity. And I need seniors who are mature, leaders, willing to listen and do what they're supposed to do. And until that, I don't know if it's a big head or just lack of focus a little bit sometimes with our kids.
You talk about going from good to great, and being a team that what do they want to be, good to great. When I look at this team, and, you know, I've seen a lot of them from not quite as up close as you see them.
Right.
But I see them, you know, from the standpoint of a fan and of a media member. But I see this team as having the great potential to do some things that no other Ben Davis team has ever done. Not only when, you know, the state accolades, but when you look at, because other teams have done that as well, but there's a potential there for this team to be one of those teams that has separated itself from the other teams in Ben Davis history. And I don't know if that'll help you or help anybody listening, but you're right. They're not to that level yet.
No.
I don't see the 2001 team here yet, or the 91 team, but the potential is to be that kind of team if they work for it. That's my statement.
Yeah.
So
I don't disagree with you, but until they buy in that Monday can't be a half Monday, Tuesday can't be whatever Tuesday, it has to be in. You have to buy in. You have to be all in. You have to be focused in. You have to be dialed in. Until that happens, good will be all they achieve, because greatness will belong to somebody else, because they'll get a bumped along the way, and then they'll spend their lives, including me, because I'm in this. This is year 34 for me. And so in my life, in their life, they will say, what if? What if? And that's a terrible way to live a season. You've put so much time in the off season in, is to go around going, well, what if we'd have just done? You don't want to do that. The 2001 team never asked themselves what if when it was over. 2002 didn't ask what if. 2014, you know, we were asking what if at one point we got killed by Carmel, but then when they flipped it, it was like, we're it. You know, and they go around not asking what if. They go around saying we did, you know, because we bought in. Guys like Justin Brandon and Asmar and Kyle, they bought in. You know, they didn't always like us. They didn't always like what we were doing in practice. They didn't always like that we pushed and pushed and pushed, but they bought in because they wanted something bigger than the little bit of stuff I deal with now, which is just frustrating as a coach.
Well, you know, because there are a lot of teams in the past that didn't end up getting to where they are. It's very rare.
Yeah.
I mean, even at Ben Davis, where we've been more lucky, to have a lot of success, and it's been earned. It's not just luck, but luck is part of it. But you know, there are a lot of teams that don't get to that level, and they're not remembered at all.
Yeah, I can sit here and tell you right now, the 94 team at Ben Davis that I coached against, because I was at Warren Central at the time, swore they were going to win the state. They had hammered North Central during the regular season, drew them in the first round, and got their butts handed to them.
20-2,
Something like that. Dick said it was one of the worst losses of his career, because they thought they were winning it all that year, they had righted the ship.
That was my first year of covering Ben Davis football.
Yeah, and so you look back and you don't want regrets, man. You don't want to sit there and say, "Wow, I could have." No, you had your chance. You didn't. Somebody else did. And I tried to get them to understand that tonight after practice. I don't know if I succeeded, to be honest with you.
Any more questions? All right, I think we're going to send it back to Reggie at the studio for a 1 minute break, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show.
WBDG thanks Church's Chicken at 7224 West 10th Street for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Church's is open from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Church's offers a variety of chicken, fish, wings, and side dishes, as well as snacks, finger foods, and honey butter biscuits. Church's Chicken can be reached at 317-644-0574. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken for its support of this sports broadcast.
Okay.
All right, we're back. We got Warren this week. Explain, you know, the process going into this, how you guys preparing and everything. I know it's only the second day of practice today, but
well,
what have you seen?
We're not preparing like I hope. You know, I always tell them when we have a bad day, you better hope your opponent has a bad day, because if they don't, they're going to be better than you, and when you meet them on the field, they will beat you. You know, you can't prepare lackadaisical for teams of Warren's caliber. And I know people are saying, well, they've been beat. Well, they lost to a Trinity team that's ranked in the nation. They lost to an LC team that's 4-0 and everybody knew was going to be good. They beat Center Grove in the opening game. They've beaten North Central, who's much improved over last year, sitting at 3-1. So you can't look, and I know they do. I know people look at, well, they're this or that, and we've done this, and they only beat Center Grove by this, and we beat them by this, so that makes us better. No, it doesn't. You know, they're going to come. Jason West is going to have them prepared. They're going to give us their best shot. We have not had a lot of luck against them in the last number of meetings. Regular season, I think, since I've been the head coach, I think we've only beaten them once, 6-3. So we're 1-9 in the regular season against them. We faced them twice in the regionals and beat them twice in the regionals in 2008 and 2014. I don't think we faced them any other time in the tournament. So we've had a little better success in the tournament, but there's no excuse. Last year we went there and they jumped on us 14-0, you know, ran a trick play on the opening kickoff, got good field position, then ran a hitch corner on us for a touchdown on like the second play, then came back, got a stop, came back, ran a trick play and scored again, was up 14-0 5 minutes into the game. We ended up losing 35-34, but he's going to do the same thing. He's going to come out and he's going to surprise us. He's going to try and jumpstart him. He's going to try to get his kids fired up, and we're going to have to answer the bell now. I mean, I tell the kids all the time, there is no off games in the mix, you know. And I know what they're thinking. Well, coach, we scored this many on this team and this. I don't care. It's the next game. It's the next opponent, and we need to ramp it up, man. I'm just telling you, tomorrow better be different.
Speaking of answering the bell, Warren's got a fine football player on their team named David Bell.
Yeah.
Talk about your assessment of his skills.
Oh, fantastic. Probably, if not, somebody needs to show me a better football player in his class in the state of Indiana as a junior. You know, I watched him against, you know, different teams on different films, and he catches a 5-yard route and breaks it for 65. He catches a 3-yard route and breaks it for 40. He's got unbelievable speed, great hands. My friends over there at Warren say he's a great student, great person, great character kid. He plays the game fast. He plays the game hard. If there's a better junior football player in the state, somebody needs to show it to me, because I don't see it. I mean, we see pretty good competition week in, week out, and he's phenomenal. And then you got that, and you got Dean Tate, who plays wide receiver when he's not a quarterback, who's a burner. Number 18's phenomenal. Number 4's phenomenal. Number 5 is the tailback, who also plays wide out some and catches the ball. 21's the best tailback. They got an offensive line that returns 4 starters from last year. They're really big, really physical. They're well coached. It's kind of scary watching them. I know they're 2-2, but it's really unnerving watching them play.
Coach, you've been a part of this rivalry for the last, well, since you've been at Ben Davis, and even before that. I don't know if that's your question. I won't ask it. I don't know if you had that one. Okay, well, then I'll ask. So you've been on both sides, obviously played at Warren, you know, coached at Ben Davis, coached at Warren, coached at Ben Davis.
Yeah.
So you've seen the rivalry from a lot of different perspectives. Probably have seen it at times it wasn't a rivalry, and at times that it was vicious, and at times where we are now, maybe, where it's been a little bit more respectful. But can you talk a little bit about your memories of Ben Davis and Warren, the Circle City Showdown?
Yeah, I mean, I can go all the way back to the 70s. You know, as a sophomore, we beat Ben Davis. It was a close one. The rivalry wasn't as big then. Warren was winning some. We were starting to get into a position where Warren was winning. Ben Davis was on the upswing with Bob Wilbur coming in, and he had a group of guys coming in with his son Tim Wilbur and Kevin Britt and the Geno Howard and those guys, Morton Anderson, you know. And then my junior year, we lost 28-27 at Ben Davis. with Morton Anderson, who's now in the Hall of Fame for the NFL, kicking the winning extra point. Tim Wilbur had a phenomenal game that day. We blew a two-touchdown lead in the last 5 minutes to lose it. And then my senior year, we come back and we win 24-7. That's when Geno Howard and Tim Wilbur graduated, but then came Keith Howard and Chucky Howard. Chucky went on to play at IU, was a really good football player. And so we bounced back the next year and won a pretty good game. And, you know, then I'll be honest with you, I kind of lost track with it from there. You know, I went to college and, you know, I was an accountant for a number of years coaching youth football. And then in 90, I became a coach at Warren Central, wide receiver coach my first year. And we beat Ben Davis my first year. I think that was 90, and I think Ben Davis went on to win. That was their only loss that year. We had a really good football player in Jamie Asher. I think we beat him 16-14 here. And then we really didn't beat Ben Davis again. My next 5 years, we lost to Ben Davis every year. 91, they killed us. It was 38-6, Steve Ullman's year. And then when I reappeared at Ben Davis, which was kind of stab in the heart to some people on the east side. There were some people that couldn't believe I was going to do that. But it was an opportunity for me to learn under Coach Delahan. I'd learned under Coach Shelbourne at Warren. I figured it was an opportunity to learn under Coach Delahan and Tom Allen and people like that. And I knew my son was a pretty good football player, and so I wanted to bring him to a school where he could kind of find out if he was really good enough. You know, he ended up playing on two state championships and a two-year starter, so he wasn't sure he could ever play here, but he did, you know. And even then, when I first got to Warren, Ben Davis in 2000, it was still pretty one-sided with Ben Davis winning. We beat him twice in 2000, twice in 2001. But you could see when Kevin Wright came in, the gap started to close. And then in 2002, we lost in the regular season and then beat him in the tournament in a classic 35-28 snow, mud, rain.
That was nasty.
Overtime.
I just remember the walking on the field afterwards. It was soup.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was a mess.
But it was a great game. I mean, your fans, if you were a fan of high school football, you got your money's worth. You know, we went on to win state that year. And then the next year, Warren got us twice, and it kind of started that trend of them kind of dominating us. You know, I address that with our team. They've kind of owned us since 2003 on. In fact, we only have one regular season win in that time. Am I right?
None under 2001, August 31st, 2001 is the last.
Yeah, we didn't beat regular season. Yeah, that's correct. And then 2012, we beat them 6-3.
Right, right.
You know, so there's only been twice in the last, since in that
it's
last
the only
15.
Home regular season win is August 31st, 2001.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. So, you know, Kevin Wright came in and kind of changed the mentality. And it got a little heated, probably got a little bit out of control, to be honest with you. And then in between that time, you know, Tom was there for 3 years and he left, and I've been here for 11. But in between that time, they've had a number of coaches. They've had, you know, Kevin Wright to Steve Tutsey to John Hart to Steve Tutsey to Jason West. And so it's kind of bounced. Me and Jason get along unbelievably well. There's not the animosity, at least I don't think there is, that runs between the two teams. We just haven't had it. It's been line up, play, shake hands, go home. Me and Jason West talked a couple weeks ago. We've had a rough start to the years. You know, they had a young man, the senior, that was killed last spring. They've got another man who's very, very sick. Is at home now, but he's very, very sick. You know, we started the season with one of our kids in a bad situation and hasn't been able to play or will not be able to play. And we've had two or three other things that have happened, accidents with family members and parents that have not been good. And our kids have had to fight. Both teams have had to fight through some real issues. And kind of puts the game in perspective. Me and Jason talked about that for about 30 minutes on the phone a couple weeks ago, that we're spending so much time dealing with other things that, you know what, when it's all said and done, it just maybe the game isn't. You know, it isn't. It just isn't. It's a game, and as frustrated as I get, I got to remind myself sometimes of that.
Well, that was a lot of information thrown out.
Well, that was a big question. There wasn't a way to answer that without kind of taking you back through time a little bit.
I was just surprised you had that good of a memory. I would have forgot all that stuff.
I can tell you all kinds of scores.
My father, he could remember every round of golf he ever played. Yeah. Wow. You know, he'd be like, the first hole, I hit a 5-iron. It's like, I don't remember what I had for lunch.
Well, Coach was going through that whole line of history there. It had me thinking back to my first Warren Central Ben Davis game back in 1994 that I covered. Whenever
we lost 16-14, we fumbled with about 2 minutes to go,
and Jeff
they
Poizel
recovered
kicked.
It and ran a trap, got it down inside about the 20, maybe 35,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff Poizel, who's my kicking coach now, and we're good friends now. He went on to become an All-American kicker at Western Kentucky.
Still has the school record.
Yeah, he came out and kicked the field goal because we were up 14-13 when we fumbled a pitch. We ran an option play, fumbled a pitch. We wished, obviously, we'd called something different. But that was a classic because that year, you know, Ben Davis ends up getting beat in the first round. We end up losing the regionals at Warren that year to Carmel, a team we'd beaten 35-14 the regular season, lost 14-6 in the regionals. So.
I just have one last question before I pass it to you two. You just described a lot of the explosiveness of the Warren offense, and I was just wondering if you think your defense and your secondary is prepared, you know, coming after this last game you just played where they did pretty well, you said. You think they're pretty ready for this? And
I don't know. That's a really good question. And after tonight's practice, again, I'm going to go home and grade film and send out all my emails to all the coaches about what we need to fix. I would say right now on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most ready, we're sitting at about a 4, which is not good playing a Warren Central team. You know, if we were playing maybe somebody else, I don't know, might be okay. But last week at this time, we were just more focused. I mean, they've got to dial in tomorrow. I don't know if they're reading their press clippings or, you know, paying attention to the pollsters or whatever all that crap that we deal with, but they really just need to focus on beating Warren.
We're probably not helping because I tweeted that stuff out today.
But they know it. It doesn't matter if you tweet it or not. They all know it.
Just any final thoughts as we get set here?
Well, it's going to be a great night. It's supposed to be a warm night. It's supposed to be 80, but it'll be cooled by game time. It's supposed to be nice and sunny. Purple Rain's been great. Our people, our adults that are traveling and watching us, they're excited. We've had two great home crowds. You know, we've got this one, and we only got two more home games after this. It's worth your $6, folks. Get up, get out, and watch a good football game.
Yeah, be two great home games, too, coming up. So you got this is the year that you have some pretty phenomenal Well, you always have phenomenal home
but this
games,
is the one. This is the year that the ADs get excited about because they bring in the dollars.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it.
Thanks to Reggie back at the studio.
Yeah, thanks to Reggie back at the studio. This will be another edition of Ben Davis, Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks again to Church's Chicken and everything. Thanks, you guys, for coming
Thank
out.
Thank you.
We're going to send it back to Reggie at the studio.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.